Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. 50 years ago, John Coltrane released this, Mars. He drew musical notes in a circle on another occasion and connected them with a straight line, forming a five-pointed star. Inspired by Einstein, Coltrane put physics and geometry at the core of some of his music. My next guest is returning the favor, using jazz to answer some of the deepest mysteries in physics and cosmology. Stefan Alexander is professor of physics at Brown University and a jazz musician. His new book is The Jazz of Physics, The Secret Link Between Music and the Structure of the Universe. Thanks so much for coming on with us.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And you're not the first physicist to think about the connection between physics and music, we should say, right? In fact, at the very birth of astronomy, back to 400 BC, Pythagoras thought about the universe as playing a sort of musical harmony. You write about this. The analogy continues through time with the first astrophysicist, Johannes Kepler, to Newton, to Einstein. Can you talk about why music lends itself as an analogy through which to explain physics?
Yeah. Over all the years in teaching and doing research in physics, theoretical physics, cosmology, quantum field theory, particle physics, I came to realize that there's like sort of like if you break physics down to the basic concept, what is the basic idea that seems to unify a lot of different branches? It's the physics of vibration, the physics of waves. So I would say that, and music lends itself to vibration, of course, too. I mean, the building blocks of music are notes, of course. Frequencies and tones, and that's based on the physics of vibration as well.
Which came first for you, physics or jazz?
Music and later jazz. My grandmother had me at age 8 learning classical piano, and then from there I took interest in improvisational music.
And as you were practicing Mozart, you write, that you were more interested in how music worked than learning to play others' compositions.
Yeah, so before I knew anything about what being a scientist is, I was a very inquisitive child. And a lot of my friends growing up in the Bronx, we all had inquisitive minds and we wondered about these things. And I wanted to know, well, what made music work? Why did these notes make us feel a certain way?
You brought a couple of paragraphs to read.
Yeah.
I understand about when you met the jazz musician Yusef Lateef, most known, if I remember correctly, for his flute playing.
That's right. That's right. And he was one of the jazz musicians who were known as great men of knowledge, that even Coltrane used to go in Detroit to hang out with him, you know, to talk music. This book is about me trying to reconcile my passion for music and physics. And there are many sort of discoveries I made, but one of the things that ignited this was in 2005 when I was looking for a faculty job. I was at Stanford at the time as a postdoc, and I went out to UMass Amherst to interview, and I found a white pages and realized that Professor Lateef had recently retired. So this is a sort of at the beginning of the book. A decade ago, I sat alone in a dim cafe on the main drag of Amherst, Massachusetts, preparing for a physics faculty job presentation when an urge hit me. I found a payphone with a local phone book and mustered up the courage to call Yusef Lateef, a legendary jazz musician who had recently retired from the music department at UMass Amherst. I had something I had to tell him. Like an addict after a fix, my fingers raced through the pages, anxiously seeking a number. I found it. The brisk wind of a New England autumn hit my face as I called him. At the risk of rudely imposing, I let the phone ring for quite a while. Hello, a male voice finally answered. Hi, is Professor Lateef available? I asked. Professor Lateef is not here, said the voice flatly. Well, could I leave him a message about the diagram that John Coltrane gave him as a birthday gift in 1961? I think I figured out what it means. There was a long pause. Professor Lateef is here. We spoke for nearly 2 hours about the diagram that appeared in his acclaimed book, Repository of Scales and Melodic Patterns, which is a compilation of a myriad of scales from Europe, Asia, Africa, and all over the world. I expressed how I thought the diagram was related to another and seemingly unrelated field of study, quantum gravity, a grand theory intended to unify quantum mechanics with Einstein's theory of general relativity. What I had realized, I told Latif, was that the same geometric principle that motivated Einstein's theory was reflected in Coltrane's diagram. Einstein was a hero of mine, so were John Coltrane and Yusuf Latif.
Wow. So what did Yusuf Latif think when you read him that? He's like, man, I just want to swing. I don't want to hear about Einstein. Or what?
Oh, no. In fact, like, Latif just jumped all over it. And then we continued talking for like another hour on the payphone. I had to run over and get quarters to continue filling up the phone. No, he, and I find this with a lot of jazz cats, when I'd go to clubs and hang out after, backstage and start engaging them with these connections. A lot of them I would hear, I always felt this, and now this is being, put out in this clear way, and they would just continue. They wouldn't want to stop talking about it. And Latif was one of the first examples of someone that just kept going on and on about the possible connections.
What about jazz being improv? Not something we usually think about when we think about the scientific method.
That's right. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so... one of the things that crystallized while writing the book was in looking for these connections. It didn't occur to me that right under my nose was a very clear connection between theoretical physics, research, the way we actually do research as theoretical physicists, and jazz music, which is that theoretical physicists, at least the ones that I interact closely with, we improvise with equations and concepts, just like jazz musicians improvise with notes and rhythm and harmony.
Another of your stories is about how you first met Brian Eno, the composer and producer, and how he influenced your thinking about cosmology. Some Brian Eno fans might associate him more with a kind of space music than what we think of as jazz.
That's right. I became friends with Brian when I was in London for a couple of years, and I would stop into his studio a couple of days a week before going off to work. And just watching his process as an artist and as a composer, I started to see two things. One was just the courageousness that he exhibited. He would just take ideas and transform these ideas into interests in art and music. And some of these ideas were scientific ideas. So, he's known for generative music, and he started to apply ideas from cellular automata, which I won't go into, but we can look it up.
Generative means?
Basically, the idea is that you take simple patterns and generate more complex, elegant patterns from based on these simple patterns. And that can, be in the medium of the visual medium or the sonic medium. When I saw that happening, I said, well, I don't need to separate my music world from my physics world. I should just, integrate them in whichever way that comes naturally to me. And so Brian was one of the people that really inspired that and encouraged that as well.
So an example of the work you're doing now, I see you've come up with a model of the multiverse, which is based on the idea of a jazz solo. Can you start by reminding our listeners, what does the term multiverse mean?
Yes, the multiverse is the idea that instead of there being one universe, when we look out into our night sky, we just think we are contained in this one universe, that we are part of many copies of our universe, but all those other universes have slightly different properties, which may or may not be habitable for life as we know it. And so the universe is this vast, array of many universes. That's a multiverse idea.
And so you can explain the multiverse in terms of a jazz solo?
Yeah, so in some of us theorists, we are uncomfortable for technical reasons and conceptual reasons with the multiverse as it stands. Some of us do believe that, we would like to think that we live in just one universe. And the idea here is the analogy, which I ended up publishing a paper on with Marcelo Gleiser and my student Sam Cormack, was that we live in one universe, and the universe is just very old and underwent cycles. So you see where the musical idea comes from. In a lot of jazz music, including the blues as well, the song repeats itself in a cycle. So the structure repeats itself. The 12-bar blue repeats itself every 12 bars. And the solo gets an opportunity every time, the improviser, to try a different improvisation. So John Coltrane took this to the next level by playing with harmonic cycles, a so-called Coltrane cycle, which his album Giant Steps was based on. So I said, well, what if the universe was like a jazz solo? And the basic idea here we're trying to solve is, why are the forces of nature, why do they have the properties that they do have fit for life? And the idea here is that we live in a universe with many cycles of going into big bangs and big crunches, and just the universe is just oscillating like a tone, like a rhythm. And that every time we come around into the universe as we see it today, the universe gets an opportunity to improvise the forces to have the properties. And we happen to live in the epoch where the universe has the right properties for life. So the idea here is that we live in one universe and the universe is cyclic, just like a jazz solo.
And you speculate that the reason why music has the ability to move us so deeply is that it's an auditory illusion to our basic connection to the universe.
That's correct.
Could that theory ever be tested and measured?
I think so. So the other thing that the book really goes into, like the scientific content, was that I wanted to use music, and in particular the language of jazz, which is developed. You don't have to have a background in that. It's developed in a book. As a new way to talk about modern physics, the physics that I love so dearly, and cosmology, and the modern ideas in cosmology, and also to give the reader a firsthand insight into how physicists actually come up with the new physics rather than just explaining things that already happen. And so, your question again?
Sorry. Oh, can this be tested and
Oh,
measured?
Yes. So what's really cool is that I use the book to explain one of the biggest questions that cosmologists are interested in, which is, how did a featureless early universe 14 billion years ago evolve and develop, all right, to produce the structure that we see, stars and galaxies and planets, right? So we see this beautiful array of structure, and we want to connect it to a featureless universe. What is the physics that does that? And I go through the book and I explain and show that actually it has to do with the physics of sound, that the universe, you know, in the beginning it was sound, right? And these sound patterns developed into the structure. But we are the ultimate and most complex form of structure in that cosmic history. So the question that I speculate on is, well, isn't it interesting that we make music. We have evolved to make this, to have the capacity as a structure within the universe to make music. Music moves us as well. So the speculation is, maybe there's something in the patterns of the sound patterns in the early universe that might be connected to, something in our brain, right? So I ended with that speculation.
And if it gave us Taylor Swift as well as Miles Davis, then maybe there really are multiverses.
It's all good, yeah. It's all good, you know. I love it all.
So let's go out with a piece of music from your album, Here Comes Now. You can roll this under and we'll talk over it. The story of this album, I gather, emblematic of your story of physics and music joining together. The song is Ornette's Vortex, a reference, I presume, to the jazz musician Ornette Coleman.
That's right. And I did this album with Aaron Ryu in Brooklyn.
Stefan Alexander is a professor of physics at Brown University and a jazz musician. His new book is The Jazz of Physics, The Secret Link Between Music and the Structure of the Universe.
Yes. Big up Ornette Coleman. This song is dedicated to him. He was a great mentor of mine, and I miss him dearly.